Welcome to Sharing Love and Truth. I am your host, Renee Beamer, founder of Sharing Love and Truth, author of The Love Triangle, What Every Couple Needs for a Successful Marriage. Well, this is part two of the program that I'm calling How the Christ Follower Overcomes Fearful Thinking. And really, this is strategy for any form of negative thinking, but I am going to be focusing on fear quite a bit in this teaching. And if you listen to part one, I highly suggest that you get that foundational material in part one. But the word magor is where I left off, and it's a word for terror. And David spoke of it in his Psalms, you know, the writings that we have from King David. And Psalm 31:13, he says, "For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side." And terror meaning magor in the original language. So let's get started. Fear is a foreigner to the child of God. For the person who has believed upon Jesus Christ and has received full benefit of the blood of Christ, there is nothing related to fear in the blood covenant for believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment." And so God satisfied the punishment that is required for sin, and it was put upon Jesus when he died on the cross. He shed his blood, and in the covenant of God's love, that blood secures it. And having believed upon it, we are welcomed in to the Father's unconditional love. And therefore, that's why I can say fear is a foreigner to the child of God, because the opposite of fear is love. And because of God's love, we can say, "Fear, you have no place here. I belong to God, and his promises are true for me." And the blood poured out in love says, "If you receive this, you belong. And so I belong to God." When I fail to take captive the falsehoods that the enemy throws into my mind, and all of us are susceptible. We cannot control what we hear, but we can control what we listen to. And so if we choose to listen to the lies, if we choose to entertain the lies, it's like we're setting up a temporary dwelling place for the fear to rest. And that's a second part, a second meaning of the word magor. It means to live as an alien or a stranger. Magor wants to dwell. Terror wants to dwell. And the third meaning of magor, this word meaning terror, it also means acceptable storage chamber. And the dictionary I'm reading indicates that the heart is a storage chamber. So magor can mean terror. It can mean an alien, to live as an alien. And it can mean storage chamber. And I think really they're all connected, because my heart is the targeted storage chamber for magor coming in as a foreigner. It has no part of this covenant of God's love sealed in the blood of Jesus. And yet it's very much seeking for my agreement that it may dwell in my heart. We have to evict magor in the same way that a property owner evicts a squatter. Magor, no more. Terror, no more. Negative thinking, no more. You are not welcome here. In the same way that a squatter comes in and consumes resources of a property owner, that's what terror does. It comes in, it's alien, it has no part of any legal lease agreement. There is nothing, just like a squatter coming in has no legal right to be on the property. And when the property owner says out, and then has to come in behind the squatter and clean up all the trash. But it doesn't matter because he's out now. He's not consuming the property owner's resources. And the law backs the property owner. Why? Because you have to have contract, covenant to be in that apartment. And so it is with our hearts. If something comes from the pit of hell trying to dwell in our hearts, we need to recognize, hey, you have no legal right by the covenant of God. I am his child. It is sealed by the blood of Jesus. It is all based on love. And you, fear, have no place in that. Out. There's this prescription for getting the upper hand over negative thinking, because it's going to happen to all of us, but there is a prescription. And the Bible talks about meditation. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of the mockers, but on his word he meditates day and night. That word meditate is haga. Our proper defense when we are battling negative thinking is to meditate on truth. Now, haga, meditation on God's truth, it doesn't mean that we're denying reality. Oftentimes there very well are threats and dangers that are upon us. They're real. They're not imagined. I understand that. But haga, meditating on truth, is choosing to focus on the greater reality that God always has been and always will be in control. Pastor Joseph Prince out of Singapore New Creation Church, he describes the process of haga as a cow chewing on its cud. It's a continual process. And so day and night, we're bringing up the remembrance of God's promises to us. One of my favorite promises to meditate on, to bring up, to chew on, and to really see this get from my mind's understanding into my heart's belief system, Psalm 91:1. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The name Almighty in this scripture verse, this wonderful promise to practice our haga, our meditation on the word of God, when magor, when fear or terror is threatening. Let me talk about this word Shaddai, the word Almighty. In Hebrew, the root of that name, Shaddai, a name of God, Almighty, a root is Shad. And Shad gives us a picture of a nursing mother and her child. A nursing mother with her child. And you know, many times I've seen nursing moms and I've never wondered if she's babysitting. That thought has never come across my mind. I'm always making the assumption, and I think 99% of the time I'm correct, that this is the mother and her natural born child. That this child belongs to her. She's not a babysitter. If she's nursing a child, that is her own child. And the child has total nutritional sufficiency to thrive because of the mother's milk. Part of that meaning of the word, the name of God, Shaddai, part of that meaning is God is all sufficient. We have total nourishment because of God's provision. And we belong to him. And that's why we can call him God Almighty. That's why we can dwell in his shelter and bank on the promise that we will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now get this, Isaiah 49:15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God is likening his careful attention to our total care to a nursing mother. But he says his attention is even greater. He has tattooed us on his hand. This is God's way of saying, child, you are mine. You are not a foreigner. You belong to me. And my promises are yours. You can know security in my promises. And so when Magor is threatening, we can say, no. This has no part in the covenant of God's love. I belong to him, having believed upon the blood of Jesus. I have a covenant that says fear has no legal right to my life. Out. And we start practicing Haggah. We start meditating on truth. Another meaning of Haggah, which I think you'll find interesting, not only is it meditation or to meditate, but it's also to expel, to remove. Now, you're familiar with the taunting. What if such and such happens? And now you and I know we can say, well, that's a good one, devil. If I was a foreigner to God, I might fall for that. But you see, he has me tattooed on his hand, and he will not forget me, is his promise, Isaiah 49:15. And he has called me to rest inside the shadow of his wing. Isn't that good? That's what Haggah does. We just meditate. We speak it out. If you were with me last week for part one, meditating also involves the uttering, the muttering, the making the sound. If it's a meditation through a very desperate or time of great despair, moaning is part of that meditation. Moaning can be part of that, speaking it out. David is most likely the best example we have in Scripture of one who used the process of meditation, Haggah. We have an extensive record of his meditating on the truth. I mean, he was a man that knew terror, just like I read his words from Psalm 31. There is terror on every side. He was a hunted man. He was a war, and he knew terror. And yet, he would practice Haggah, and we see these records of his mental process, getting his soul to come into agreement with the truth of God. He would always end up at the truth of God and worship God for who he is, and we have to do the same. We have to come back to the truth of who God is and what his promises mean to us, and we have to constantly Haggah, we got to keep repeating it. It's like a cow chewing on its cud. We have to keep repeating this truth, keep bringing it up and meditating on it. You see, the fear tactic of the enemy causes us to think, just like David, that maybe we've been abandoned by God. And so let me give you some references from Psalm 31. David said in verse 22, In my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight. But then he went into Haggah. This Magor was not going to take root in his heart, even though he felt like he had been abandoned. Now he's going to practice truth. In verse 14 of Psalm 31, but I trust in you, O Lord. And David says, get this, you are my God. David muttered, he uttered, he meditated on truth. He's rehearsing truth like a cow chewing a cud. He's bringing the truth up, and he's chewing on it. And you and I do the same. We use our mouth. He says, verse 15, let your face shine upon your servant. These are words of antiquity. Moses had spoken them, and now David is rehearsing the promises. Verse 20, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. He's talking about the faithful. God, you hide them. Your dwelling keeps them safe from accusing tongues. David's meditating on promises of God. And finally, God is enthroned on David's praise. He says, praise be to you, O Lord, for you have shown your wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. Friend, I don't know how the enemy is trying to displace you and cause you to believe that you don't belong to God. Remember Hebrews 10:19-22, the blood has brought you near. And many other promises. Keep reviewing them. Keep speaking them. God bless you as you meditate on truth.